said that God does nothing except in answer to prayer. And even though I believe that, God is also capable, obviously, of doing anything that He wants to because He's God. He can do whatever He wants to. And the Scripture does talk about how He looks. He couldn't find anyone, and He wrapped Himself in His own zeal and went and took care of business. But prayer is obviously something very, very important, and we're going to talk about that today as part of royal privilege and royal prerogative. But that's going to continue. And then obviously on, I think, next Sunday the 5th, we're going to have a special offering for those. Was it last week? I can't remember. My weeks kind of run together. There's a lot of financial needs in the congregation, and so we're going to receive a special offering for those financial needs, and probably the church will kick in some as well. And then the March the 12th, after, as part of our service, we will go, obviously tally that, run it through the books, but then we'll go cash a check for that amount and bring a basket here, and for everyone that has a need, you can run. We'll just pray over it and let you file through. You take out whatever you feel like you're supposed to take out, all right? And the cool thing about that is it puts the fear of God on you because there may be 10 of you, and if you're the first one in line. Now, here's the good news, that if everyone goes through and there's money left, then we'll take another lap through it, all right? Then you can continue to pick out what you feel like. If you get and when you go through the first time and you feel like that's all you're supposed to receive, then that's fine. You can sit down. You don't have to come through the second wave. But Lord, if there's a third wave, we'll just keep doing it until all the money's gone, all right? And then you can go and be blessed and use the money for whatever that need may be. It may be a bill that you're behind on or whatever it is. Listen, that's what the body of Christ does, all right? The body of Christ helps one another. Now, I wish we could do it all the time, but obviously we're limited in certain aspects, but there's no reason why, you know, that we can't do this and bless the people that God's given us to try to look over. So that's going on. Then the worship team meets on March the 6th at 7. Yeah, I think it's 7 here. March the 6th, we may not have prayer that night because of the worship team coming. And so we're going to, I know they got some needs as far as equipment and stuff like that. And then we're going to also pray during that time. So we're looking forward to the team expanding. I'm running after this one young man that's getting married, and he's one of my son's friends, and he can tear the drums up. So he called me. He said, "I want to send you my wedding invitation." And I said, "That's fine." I said, "When you get back off your honeymoon, call me, because I have a plan for your life." So we may reintroduce the cage for the drums and add a little. I'm also praying for some brass. I love brass. You know, Chicago. Anybody here old enough to remember Chicago? We got that brass section, man. It's just Saturday. No, I better not go there. And wouldn't it be great to have a little, after we move out of this place, have a little stage area where we've got about a dozen people in a choir, and, you know, just kind of going after it. So anyhow, I don't know about you, but I like a lot of foot stomping music, which eases you right into worship. Enter in with praise and go on in with the worship. So who knows what that may return. Men's meeting is on March the 18th at 6 p.m. Brother Dale is, he must have had to leave, but he's cooking up some, I think it's Boston Butts, I believe. And so I want to, is Earl here? Did he leave? Did he get raptured again? We're supposed to have passed, does he have it up here? I don't know. Hey, do you have the board for the men's sign up? We want you to invite your friends to come. It's a free meal. Franco Gennaro, who's my friend that I go into Cuba with, is going to come and minister that night. And then he's staying over the next morning. He's going to be ministering on Sunday morning with us. He'll tell you some really cool stuff that's going on in his life and in his ministry. It's just really great stuff that's going on. Now, anybody else have a... Linda has an announcement, excuse me.
Are there ladies here who are
Can't be outdone. There you go. Amen. You see how your faith is contagious? Yeah. So, yes, ma'am. No, 9 to 11 every Saturday. You know, obviously, if you can't stay the whole couple hours, that's fine. Just come and pray as you can. But it just stirs me. I love it. Well, no, now it's just the prayer. The fasting was for the month of February. So, you know, if you want to fast, obviously you can. There's all kind of ways, you know, that you can fast these days. They've expanded it to social network and all that kind of stuff, you know. I don't go there. I leave that between you and God. I also want to make mention on Fridays, our throne rooms are really going really well. I have yet been able to make it myself because of I was going to come last night, but I had something come up because my wife's on call this week, so we're batching it at the house. She's all staying the night up in Valdosta for the whole week. But it starts at 7. I think it goes about an hour, and it's Cassidy and her family that Teresa's on it, and I think Aaron comes as well, and I've heard real good things. You can just come and sit and pray and worship. There's not an agenda. It's just simply to get into the presence of God. And more things happen in the presence of God than certainly in the presence of the devil. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's every Friday night at 7 p.m. So I just wanted to plug that as well. That's coming down the pike. Did I forget anything? We're doing Bill Johnson's curriculum on hosting the presence, and it's real good. It's real good. It's we're reading through our textbooks as well as I think he has about a 20 to 30 minute teaching. So I encourage you to be a part of that if you want to. There's one thing about our community of faith. If you're not fed, it's your own fault because we flat put the word out there. Okay, so I just encourage you to participate in that. I hope and pray that you're, matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and ask you, how's your time with God as an individual? Are you reading your Bible? That's a good thing, amen? Are you praying? I mean, do you start your day out with a prayer of praise and thanksgiving? And I personally throw a little prayer of protection over my family and especially them grandkids, amen? It's always good to start the day off with Jesus. He is better than a cup of coffee, I'm telling you. Because coffee's pretty good too, but just thought I'd let you know that. So praise the Lord for that. Hey, if you bring 5 visitors, you get $1,000. Speaking of which, the $1,000 check is under this chair right here, and nobody's sitting up the front. I can't believe you guys are back row Baptists. I can't believe it. Put the what? The pluses?
Yeah, he's bringing one.
Oh, sweet. Good. Amen. We have to get that list to Dale so we know how much food to get. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Peter. We'll start there and then wind up over in Matthew. First Peter chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. I was wondering, I was studying yesterday. And those of you who use all your electronic stuff, is there a way to underline in that electronic stuff that there is? Highlight it and all that? Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just so old-fashioned, I guess. I just like a book. I don't know. I just like a book in my hand. And, you know, people want to borrow my books. And I say, borrow my books, but don't dog-ear my pages. You know, you see those people dog-ear pages? Man, that's just terrible. I've concluded that people that dog-ear pages in their books probably are going to go to hell. I mean, it's just that bad, you know. So you need to be careful. All right, it says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And if you go on down, it says, but now are the people of God. Now you have, it says, obtained mercy. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Bless the preaching of your word. Lord, let there be a radical shift in our thinking and in the way that we see ourselves and in the way that we behave accordingly in the world today that so desperately needs to know just how good you are and how loving you are and how merciful you are. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, well, a royal mentality. I shared last week how I run into, I go to all kind of meetings. Some of them it's just relational meetings, and I try to keep my relationships up. And believe it or not, a lot of the pastor meetings or leadership, they call them pastor's meetings. Sometimes I come home and Nancy, my wife, would say, well, how was it? And it's amazing to me how it seems like that the overall emphasis of some of those meetings is just how bad it is. And they talk about how bad they're having it and how they're heard and how crazy stuff is going on. And, you know, I understand that. Life happens. And one thing that you learn real quickly in the ministry is whatever goes on, people are going to be people. And eventually you just have to let them be people. I mean, here's some good news for every one of you. You are not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. He's the one that changes people. And so sometimes people will do crazy things, hurtful things, idiotic things, stupid things, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's hard. You know, that old adage that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Am I the only one that remembers that? Or I'm just showing my age here? Okay. Me and Phyllis, we remember. Okay. But, you know, that's a lie. It is a lie. Words go deep, and they hurt you. And the more that you love the person, the deeper the hurt is. I mean, it's just life. Is it any wonder that Jesus talked about forgiveness and the power of forgiveness? Because if you get tied up in that, you're done. You'll be bitter the rest of your life. Your glasses will be named bitter. You just, everything you look at is bitter, even though if you forgive, i.e. take off the bitter glasses, you'd see a brand new life there. Because you see, every one of us has, and here's a big word for you, okay? Every one of us has a paradigm from which we interpret life. A paradigm is much like glasses. When you put those glasses on, if I do this, you're all blurry. But when I put them on and do this, I can read the words. I really am. I can read the words. I don't know if you know or not, but I got contacts. I've been wearing contacts since Jesus was born. I mean, I've had them for decades, you know. And without my contacts, then everything would be blurry. Can you imagine going through life with a blurry mentality? I was riding home after my first visit. I was just a little old tot. And I was raised in Quitman, Georgia. In Quitman, you've got gas stations and a grocery store. That's pretty much it back then. And so we had to go to Moultrie to find an eye doctor. And I went to the eye doctor, and they did the thing and all that kind of stuff. And I went back to get fitted for my glasses first. They wanted me to try glasses. And I got my glasses on, and you know, you're insecure, and you're thinking they're going to call me four eyes, and I'm going to be the brunt of all the jokes. But you know what superseded all of that was that I was driving home, and I looked out the window. I wasn't driving. I was in the car. I looked out the window, and you know what I saw? Leaves. I even said, there's leaves on the tree. to my mom, and she just started laughing. I thought she was going to wreck the car. She was laughing so hard. She said, well, of course there's leaves on the tree. And I said, I hadn't seen them for years. It was just a blur. The Bible says, as a man or a woman thinks, so is he or she. So if you don't see yourself as royalty with God, forgiven, empowered, adopted into the family of God with all the rights and privileges thereof. You know, I've got several degrees, and on that diploma, every one of them says, Terry Shiver, blah, 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 a degree conferred of, blah, 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 with all the rights and privileges thereof. You know, hopefully that means more money when you go get a job. You know, hopefully. Sometimes I wonder about that aspect of it. But you see, when we come into the kingdom of God, there is rights and privileges of being a son and daughter of God, having our sins forgiven, not just forgiven, but given us what the Scripture says, we get a brand new life, we become new creations, and the word in the Greek actually means we become someone we were not, because we were dead in our trespasses, and God comes in His Spirit and restores us to a relationship with Him by giving back to us the very image of God, which we lost when we broke that relationship because of the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit can't hang out with sin because He's the Holy Spirit. And so that Spirit comes back into us. We become a brand new creature. The tactics of the enemy is to keep you and I ignorant. He does not want you and I to know who we are. And as, you know, the old T-shirt says, who's your daddy? You know, He does not want us to understand who God the Father is and all the rights and privileges that He gladly, the Scripture says, I won't go there today. It's about maybe 2 months down the road. I can't tell you how many notes I got on this. You're going to hear a lot of this. But the Scripture says that the Father has gladly given you the kingdom. You have a kingdom. It's His kingdom, but He's given it to you to rightly represent Him on planet Earth. That's when, you know, I was in Walmart. I have so many of these testimonies. I need to start sharing more and more of them. And I was in Walmart. Yeah, half my checks are made out at Walmart. But in Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. So I was in the little, you know, they got the little Seth thing that you could do, because most of the time the regular people, their lines are really big. So I was there, and I don't care if I have a lot. I still go through the self thing, but I only had a couple of items, and I was zipping my little thing, and I paid my thing, and I just walked by, and the lady that's kind of like the guard that watches everybody, you know, and makes sure that, you know, if you have trouble, she comes over and helps you. And I just looked at her, and I smiled, and when I did, she raised her hand. This huge old cast was on her arm, and I just stopped. I mean, I was like a bird dog. Boom. You know why I did that? Because, see, inside of me, I represent God's kingdom on the earth today. And in heaven, there are no broken arms. In heaven, in her case, I thought it was broken, but it's, what do you call that thing? Thank you. It was that. And so I just made a beeline for her, and I said, hey. And she beamed, you know. She said, well, hello. She thought I had a problem, and I didn't have a problem. I said, what? You know me. I don't meet a stranger. It takes somebody really demon-possessed to reject me, because I just exude the goodness of God. I mean, they do. They it's just kind of like. So I said, what? I did it like this, John Paul. I said, what in the world happened to you? Just like that. And she went, oh. And when they do that, you're going to be there a while, because she's going to tell you the story. And so she told me that story, and I was sitting there, uh-huh. Is that right? You know, I was in talk, I engaged her, and I said, I looked at her, I said, you know what? She said, what? I said, I'm a Jesus follower. She said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I think I can pray for that hand, and God will do something for you. He will? I said, yeah. You want me to try? She said, yeah. She stuck it out there. So, I started praying for her hand, and I saw this smile start going. You know, it's kind of like it took her by surprise. And then she started going, well, that's different. I said, is that God? something happened? And she said, yeah, it's tingling. I said, well, let me pray one more time for you. And so I prayed one more time for you. And she just was, when I left her, she was like this. Just looking at it. Of course, you know, everywhere I go now, I carry a card. Because if you try to tell them where this place is, there is no way you can describe how to get here. This is a nice little map on the back of the card that lets them know. Because invariably, 9 times out of 10, they say, where do you go to church? You know, and so I say, well, I happen to have a card that'll get you right there. You say, you know, so here it is. And so I left her there, and she was smiling, and she had went into another world. She was ignoring all the little red lights going off, and she was looking at her hand like that, wiggling her fingers. And of course, on my card is the phone and my name and my cell phone number. And I know some people, you don't want to give them your home phone number, but you listen, nothing's sacred. If they want to find you, they're gonna go online and Google you and find where you live, and there'll even be a picture. I found a picture of my house on the internet the other day. It's kind of like, that's why I'm getting me another shepherd. Glory to God. You know? Why did I do that? There was a time in my life, probably 5 years ago, I would have just walked by. You know what? Instead of seeing the opportunity, I would have walked by and said, I'm glad that ain't me. I'm glad it's her hand and not my hand. But see, ever since I've come into this fullness of God's presence, and by the way, when I say that, I'm not in any way suggested I've exhausted it, because I haven't. It keeps getting more and more, and he keeps parting the curtain back a little further and a little further. I get more revelation how much he loves me and how much he's doing in the earth today, and I want to be a part of that. So there's this prerogative of understanding executive rights. That I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's my Father. He's my Savior. And all that He has, He willingly gives to me. I don't want to be like the older prodigal son that stayed behind, even though the younger prodigal son went off and squandered all the money. And I love that verse about the prodigal son. If you read it in the Scriptures, I forget where it is. I didn't jot it down. But Scripture says, and he came to himself. I'd like to suggest to you that that's exactly what the Spirit of God is trying to do for the church today. Helping us to come to ourselves. It almost sounds humanistic. But you see, the self that he's talking about is, I belong to my Father. I am a son of my Father. I don't have to live this way. And we see that being released in the earth today. And we're being able to participate in it. In 1 Corinthians 2, you can write down verse 12. I'll read it to you. Now that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. I want to suggest to you that that's an ongoing verse for you and I. That from day to day, week to week, month to month, and years to year, if my relationship is with God is hot and alive, that He's constantly revealing to me the next level of the things that have been freely given to me. The next thing that have been freely given to me. Of course, the issue is after we see it, we use it. We start walking in it. Whether it's a new mentality or whether it's there's nowhere in the New Testament where Jesus said, I'm going to heal people through you. You know what he says? You go heal people. You go heal people. Now, I know that we say it's not us, it's the Lord, and I understand the thought behind that. But as a king's kid representing him, I'm in his stead, so I pray for people with carpal tunnel or that has other issues that are going on. We pray for them. I wish I could say I was batting 1,000. I'm not. But we're seeing a whole lot more people touched now than we ever did before, especially when we weren't praying for anyone in public. And I don't know what it is, but I believe God is dealing with, we really have dealt with fear this past month, that there's a certain level of fear or intimidation or whatever it may be, that the Lord is shaking the church to get rid of all that stuff, because fear implies torment. And there is no torment in the love of God. What there is freedom. Freedom just to be you and to express the goodness of God in the earth today. It's just so much fun doing all that kind of stuff. Now, I started reading the New Testament with, and I'm only going to do one today, but I started reading the New Testament with the thought in mind, where can I find in Scripture something that reveals being a royal son or daughter of God? Yeah, I mean, you can do it. You get a pad and pencil out because it's going to really overload on you. But something in Scripture that reveals the Father's heart toward us as born-again believers and reveals the royal prerogative of being a son and daughter of God. All right? Did that make sense? Are you tracking with me? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. This is all I'll do today because I got overkill. Always did that in college. The teacher said, I want a 20-page paper, double space, blah, 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 blah. And I'd raise my hand and I'd say, well, if it goes over, is it okay? Because I'm long-winded, as you know well known. And he said, yeah, you can. But at 20 pages, I stop reading. So I learned to keep it to 20 pages. So if you do this assignment, if you want to, as you read the New Testament, I'm just talking about the synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of John, and you can throw the book of Acts in there too, but you'll be surprised if you read it with an idea of how does this explain me being a son and daughter of God? All right, so here's this one. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Matthew 7:7. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a man is what man is there among you? If a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if you then, he says, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Right, you can underline this on your little handy-dandy devices, or you can do it in your Bible. Underline, how much more? How much more with your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, when you read this, and if you read the context of the, it's always good to read the verses before and the verses after, and sometimes it's even good to read the chapter before, because if you read the chapter before, if you go back to chapter 6, Jesus kind of admonishes them. And he says in verse 7 of chapter 6, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So he's contrasting this heartless, vain repetition of asking God over and over. It's not really sure. It's like wearing them down. And listen, I'm telling you, you don't have to wear God down. He's a good God. You don't have to impress him. You don't have to do the swan dance when you pray. Oh, that was good. That's a 10. I'm going to answer his prayer. He doesn't do that at all. He says, listen, don't do that. He's actually focusing on the Pharisees who had all these forms and all these rules and all these regulations, and they would say these prayers over and over again because in their eyes, that's what it meant to be spiritual. And Jesus was saying, that may be, but that's religion and that's not relationship. If you ask, you're going to receive. If you seek, you will find. And if you knock, it will open. Because I'm a good God, and I delight in giving you good things. Now, in order to hammer this on down, if you'll read on, he actually tells us how to pray. All right? So he goes on in verse 9. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First of all, he talks about worship. That when you, how many of you know, or have you noticed, I don't know, that when you worship before you pray, and then maybe you sit back, I don't know if you're like me, but my wife accuses me of thinking too much. It's kind of like, well, I don't know about that, but I'll sit back and I'll start comparing things in my mind, and it's kind of like, you know, it's sometimes it's just a hole that you go down into, and I'm trying not to go there. But have you ever compared how you just started praying about something and you didn't worship before? Have you noticed how your prayers change when you just enter in, first of all, with just, God, I just love you. I just, you know, I call it sometimes just unloading. I worked at Zaxby's when I was getting my PhD, and it was a godsend. And there are times I had to remind myself it was a godsend. So, in Jesus, help me, Lord. But there would be times, you know, if you want to get this lesson down that people are going to be people and you just have to let them be people, just work in the public. I mean, I could bore you to death how many times I've had to call the cops on stupid stuff. And every time when I did that, it was like night and day difference. They were just chewing me out, and the cop walks in, and they're a saint. Oh, yes, everything's wonderful. I'm just trying to talk this gentleman. She didn't call me a gentleman for an hour prior to that. She called me things that I had to look up. You know, and oftentimes it's that way when we just rush into the presence of God. But, you know, he said, first of all, just start with prayer. I call it unloading. I would go home from Zaxby's, and I'd walk in the door, and my wife would say, hey, honey, and I'd say, don't talk to me. Now, we've been married for over 30 years, so she understands that's not a personal affront to her. She knows that, oh, he's got to go unload. I need to go unload. So, you know, I go back there, oh, thank God for worship, take your... It's like a bath, just a bath. And suddenly, the things that were bothering me after about 10 or 15 minutes of it, they don't bother me anymore. The things that I was going to pray about, I don't pray about anymore because I'm just happy to be in His presence. He begins to remind me how much He loves me. And in some of those instances when I would really say, Lord, this is going on at work, and blah, blah, blah. You know, he had the audacity to say to me, sounds like you got a problem. What he was saying is, do something about it. You know, one of the things I've learned in ministry and in work, are you ready? You can write this down, because this is really important. You deserve what you tolerate. This is the dramatic pause event, so it'll sink in. You know what? There's a lot of you going, oh, you mean it's my fault all that's going on? Well, it may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility to change it. Worship. The next thing is, look at this. He says, hallowed be thy name. Then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There it is. Suddenly you're thinking about another dimension. Is cancer in heaven? Is carpal tunnel in heaven? Is bad attitudes in heaven? Anybody say yay to that, that got children? You understand what I'm talking about, right? Huh? Is religion in heaven? Is lying in heaven? All these, I mean, it's just such a simple paradigm to go, is this in heaven? I'm supposed to bring heaven to earth. I'm the representative. I'm supposed to bring that. And it's just, do you see how the wisdom is already, there's a lot of stuff that we ask for that is already here. That's why I keep encouraging you, please read your Bible. It's a good book. A lot of answers there. And then he says this, look at this. Give us our day, our daily bread. That's a simple prayer. Hey, I need a hamburger. Touch my wife. Touch my children. Keep us in your will, O God. Daily stuff. And then he goes to relational stuff. He talks about forgive those that have trespassed against you or those that have hurt you. And then he goes on and says, as we forgive those and lead us not into temptation. Pretty easy. Keep short accounts. Forgiving is really more for you than it is for the other person. Otherwise, you live in jail. And then he says, live like a son or daughter. You know, my kids, when they were growing up, I can't remember, I preached so much and teach in different places, I can't remember what I say where, but when they would go out the door, I'd say, remember your shiver! Yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. What was I saying to them? For all these years, I've put values into you. You know, they get out and run around with all these people that drink and all this other kind of stuff. And I just would sit them down and I'd say, have you ever seen me do that? Did I ever do it in secret? Dad, is it wrong to have a beer? No, it's not wrong to have a beer. It's wrong to get drunk. But have you ever seen me do that? Did you see me get up and read the Bible and toke on a weed? You ever seen, oh yeah, Holy Ghost. I mean, have you ever seen me do that? No. You've never seen me do that. Why? I'm imparting values to you of holy living. And it's not do's and don'ts. Listen, I love history. And I was reading on there's Wesley, and then after Wesley came the holiness movement. And when you read those people were passionate. Dear Lord, they were passionate about God and about Jesus and they had, y'all remember the term camp meetings? Well, I mean, they would go and literally camp out in the woods and have this pavilion that they put up, no walls or anything, just, you know, post with a roof on it and a little stage, and man, they'd go to town. I mean, just go to town. And then the Spirit of God would fall on them and they'd just get drunk in the Spirit, and then some of them would, have you ever heard he's barking up a tree? How many of you have heard that thing? That came from the holiness revivals. Because they say, where's John? Well, he's over there barking up a tree. He was so drunk in the Spirit, he had grabbed a tree and he was just groaning so loud, they called it barking up a tree. That's the morphology of that term. That's where it came from. But then they moved over into, you can't wear neckties. Boy, a bunch of us would be in trouble, wouldn't it? You can't wear makeup if you're going to be holy, right? You can't wear pants, ladies. You know, aren't you glad you're not living during that era? I mean, it was tough because if they saw you, they'd bring you before the church and give you a rough time. And if you didn't repent, they'd throw you out. They had the concept, they didn't have the heart of the Father. You know, as I look at this, it talks about understanding the privileges in these verses back in Rome in Matthew 7. And I want to look at that just for a few minutes about the privileges and the responsibility of being a son and daughter of God. I want you to notice something about asking, seeking, and knocking. These things are open-ended. There's no limit to it. Asking, seeking, and knocking. I keep embarrassing Dusty because he's here, but when he worked next month, we come. The 21st will be a year since his tremendous accident. We almost lost him. And I remember sending out prayer requests, and I was so grateful. So many people called, and I hope I didn't make anybody mad. I couldn't answer all the phones, and frankly, I didn't want to. I just needed to be with my son and pray. And I remember this scripture coming to mind after the Lord spoke to me, but we won't go there because it takes so long. And the Lord spoke to me and gave me a verse about his health and what was going to go on. And so we began to come together, and we began to ask for certain things because they would come in. I mean, when you got a broken clavicle, 5 broke ribs, your spine is cracked in 2 places, your arms broke, your knees broke, your leg is cracked, I mean, all this other, and you got 80% of your brain bleeding, and they're saying you're not going to live. You know, it's overwhelming. When one of them comes in and said, "What color casket would you like?" I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I don't really need you today. You can go away. And so what I started to do is just choose one. I don't think I've told you. I've chose one thing for that day. One thing. And the nurse, I called her the police. This one lady, I mean, she was a great nurse, but boy, she would sit you in your place. You better not answer the phone in that room because it's kind of like she'd get you. And she would always come in and just never had anything good to say. Just never. Just this, and this, and these numbers look bad, and blah, 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 blah. You know, and you're just kind of sitting there. And so I heard all this bad news. So Nancy and I got together, and we went over to his bed, and this was about the third or fourth day that was there. And we just said, "Lord, we want him to move his hand today." We just want to know that he's in there. And so she stuck her fingers down there and she said, like she only does, you know, mamas, "Sweetie, can you squeeze my fingers?" You know, we asked. You know what that made us do? Ask again. Ask again. Ask, seek. They're open-ended. See, there is no, listen. There is no exhausting the love and grace of God. So the next day, you know, she came in. And of course, she always had something negative to say. And I did so good because the spirit of slap came on me so many times. I just wanted to backhand her into the next year. I mean, it was just, you know, yeah, it was. And she'd come in with all these bad, you know, we told her, we were all excited, he squeezed. And she'd say something, "Oh, that's just that's reflex. That's a phantom jerk of the muscles." And I said, "I'm going to phantom jerk you. You know, it's just, you know." And so, you know, we just smiled, and, you know, my wife is just, she is just, you know, she's just so sweet. I mean, you know, I sing this song to her. I said, "You're so sweet. You know, horse flies hang around your feet. Kentucky moonshine could never take your place, you know. Give me goosebumps all the way down to my toes. Well, I feel like the only rooster in the hen house. I guess it shows. You could look a bump, bump." So we just looked at it, you know. We said, "Well, thank you, Miss Nurse from Hell. We appreciate that." And so I looked at my wife. I said, "Well, he squeezed your finger." She said, "Yeah, he did it again." I said, "Let's go for the legs this time." And so we said, "Lord, thank you for the fingers." And that this whole time we're watching his the pressure in the brain is supposed to be under 20. We're watching it going 13, 18, 23, 14, 25. And I mean, it's kind of like, you know. And we're saying, Lord, can today we'd like to see him move his feet. Can you do that? So Nancy, yeah. Sweetie, you know, he's you know, eyes are taped, he can't move, all kinds. He's laying there like a log. Can you move your feet? Sweetie, can you move your feet? Of course, Miss Nurse from Hell said, it's just a reflex. It's not purposeful. It's open-ended. You see, I never once heard from God say, three, that's it, that's the limit, sorry. No more. No. It's not, you know, three wishes and it's over with. I never got that. Never got it, you know. And I mean, I'm telling you guys, I am not making this stuff up. We saw that time and time and time again. When the nurse said, well, his lungs really need to heal, and you know, they're compressed, and they've had, you know, took this huge hit, and it's and this is the good nurse, because she was really descriptive and helped us. And of course, my son's a doctor, so he was able to interpret the stuff that I didn't understand. And it's like inside your lungs, they were hurt so bad they were scabbed, you know. And so it was hard, and this machine is ramming air down his mouth, and he's, you know, it was just hard to look at. And so we were standing there during Easter worship with 5 minutes. We were worshiping God, and he starts, we had just, you know what we'd say? Lord, his lungs. See, all this other stuff I couldn't deal with, but I could deal with the lungs. I said, Lord, his lungs need to heal. And they said this stuff is in there, and they said, the nurse from hell said it needed to come out, and she wasn't real sure that it's gone. And so, Lord, we just ask you, let this stuff come out, you know? So we're sitting there around him on Easter Sunday. We're singing It Is Well With Our Soul. And all of a sudden, and all, you know, all these tubes got the black junk coming up. And, you know, anytime the nurse jumps up, I'm kind of like, oh, is he dying? You know, and she jumps up and she's going, no, it's good. She's popping that stuff out. It's good. Keep singing. Keep singing. Yeah, yeah. And today they came and took pictures and did all that other kind of stuff. And the next day the doctor came in and said, you know, this is like almost 10 days later, we got good news. And I'm thinking, we got good news. I can tell you some good news. Because don't listen to, you know, the devil from hell over there in the nurse's office. He said, the lungs are healing. That's exactly it. And every time he met us, do we have a relationship with God like that? Do we look at prayer like, what is that called when you roll the dice? Huh? Casting lots. It's craps. Yeah. Can we say craps in church? I don't. You know, But it's kind of like 7-11, baby. Come on, come on. You know, that is not it. But I'm telling you, I've run into leaders that think that way. It's open-ended. It's another way of looking at it. This verse screams to me royalty. It screams royalty to me. Here's how my sons and daughters act when they're up against the wall. They come. You know, in Hebrews, is it Hebrews 3 or 4? They come boldly into my presence. And they will find mercy. and grace in their time of need. Come boldly into His presence. That's royal mentality. So many of us, you know, it's like, please, sir, can I have a dime? And, you know, I don't want to condemn those people. But I do want to go up and give them a hug and say, listen, buddy, if you love Jesus, you're way below the mark. You know, I love the millennials. I love them because they're crazy. They just try and do anything. But I've also found out that some of the same things that I struggle with, they struggle with. Well, I can't take that major. Why? Because I'm not good in this particular subject and it's part of my core, so I had to change my major. Did God tell you to do that? Well, I thought He did. Then take the course. Well, what if I flunk? And? What do you mean? And? I said, take it again. What if I flunk it again? Take it again. Then if I flunk it, take it again. Take it until you pass it. Because see, a king and a queen never gives up. Once they know God's put something in their heart to do, you do it. You don't give up. You keep doing it until you make it. That's the attitude of royalty. Because we are born again believers and sons and daughters of the living God, it is not, somebody needs to hear this, it is not selfish to ask. It is. How, verse 11, ready? Let's read it again. I love this phrase. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask? Now, you know, I realize I have to deal with, have to factor in the book of James. You don't receive because you ask amiss. You know, personally, I've never asked for a pink Cadillac. I just don't do that. I've never asked for a fancy car. But I do have a car in the parking lot that was given to me, absolutely free. You know why it was done that way? Because I went to my daddy and I said, I love the Jeep, but it doesn't love me. The Jeep I'm going to give to my dog. She loves the Jeep. What am I trying to say? The Jeep was just like throwing money down a rat hole. And it was within a week, somebody called me from Atlanta and said, I was about to trade this car in on a new car, and for some reason I thought of you. Shiki la basata. Yeah, keep thinking. And? Why? If you'll come get it, boom, boom, hey! What's that commercial about the guy that fixes the sandwiches so fast, you know? Jimmy John's. I was Jimmy John, man. Hey, I'm here. I did it. It's been running good ever since. Yeah. It's not selfish to ask. I want you to notice, second of all, about this thing is that it's relational. It's relational. You know, there were, when my daddy was alive, there were certain things that I would just go straight into his presence and ask that I wouldn't ask a stranger. Because I had a relationship with him. You know, we were blood. I remember Dusty was going to school. Dusty, I hope you don't have to forgive me for embarrassing you all the time. But he was going to school, and he came to me and said, Dad, I need money. I said, well, that's nice. He said, well, he went to, you know, it's one thing. When you got a large vision, it takes a lot of money. And he wanted to go to Emory Riddle, which is a wonderful college. But it ain't cheap, let me tell you that. Somebody say amen to that. So he came in. I need, whatever it was, I can't remember, but it's like, I need $30,000. I said, me too. And then, you know what came out of my mouth? Go talk to your papa. My daddy. And he walked in there and said, Daddy, Papa, I need $30,000. He said, well, go down to the bank. I'll sign it for you. Just didn't even bat an eye. Went down to the bank. He got the loan. He got it. Now, if somebody from Timbuktu walked into my daddy's office and said, hey, I need $30,000, he would have said, me too, buddy. But because we're family, it's relational. And let me tell you this. Pull your toes in just a little bit. If you don't have much of a relationship with God and he's not answering your prayer, it ain't his fault. Because he's more interested in your heart than giving you stuff. Once you become his, he pours out. He opens up the treasury and say, all of this is yours. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the kingdom. Go and steward it. That's the responsibility part. Stewarding what God gave you. Working it until it begins to produce fruit. You see, that's what royalty is all about. It's active. It's expansive. It's experiential. All that he has, we get. The Father God's breakthrough is about his readiness to show you his goodness. You know, there's times I didn't get many answered prayer because I fell into James, the book of James, what is it, 1 or 2, where he says you don't receive because you ask amiss. And part of the reason is you don't even ask in faith. In other words, you don't have a relationship with God that he's a good God and he's the how much more type of God. And so you ask for all this weird, crazy stuff. And then when it doesn't come, it's God's fault. It actually shows a lack of maturity. I was watching a TV show the other night. Actually, it was on Netflix. We don't have TV because it costs too much. Plus, I think it's just a waste of money. But anyhow, it was about the President of the United States, and they were trying to do something, you know, and everybody in his inner circle was giving him excuses. One excuse after another excuse after another excuse after another excuse. And he finally just stood up and said, I am the President of the United States of America, the most powerful nation on earth. And all I'm getting from you people is excuses of why we can't do this. He understood who he was and who he represented. And guess what? The next day, it was all taken care of. You see, that's a mentality of belonging to the King of Kings. I belong to the King of the universe. And there is nothing, Earl was talking about it earlier, there is nothing that I can't overcome and that I can't do as long as he's put those things in my heart to do. There's nothing. There's nothing I can do. Listen to this right here, last one, number 12. Therefore, because he's talking about prayer, right? Asking, knocking, or receiving. And then he says this, he ends it like, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. And if you read this passage of Scripture and you come to verse 12, you start scratching your head going, it seems kind of out of place. Why did he put that? Why did Matthew put this in there? You know, like this. And so I started meditating on it, and I started crying out to God and saying, Lord, what is all this about? Well, you know, we pray because of our position as sons and daughters of God, knowing that we have a generous Father. You see, royalty tells you we have a generous Father. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, all these things that we say, that is so, you know, these little pithy little saying, and they're true. He owns all the gold and everything. He owns it. And so he's talking about, listen, if I'm generous, then you go be generous. If I treat you this way, then go treat people this way. Here's what I'm trying to say. I believe he put that in there. What he's saying to you and I is, whatever you do as a son and daughter of God, don't lower the bar. Bring them up to a standard of royalty. They may need to get born again first. They may need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. They may need to deal with addiction. But don't lower the bar of the how much more. That's why I don't believe in all this stuff. Everybody gets a trophy. That is such a Mickey Mouse thing. They are going to be so rudely awakened when they get out in a real job. When so-and-so gets $1.50 more in raise than you did. Why? Because he has excellent service, customer service, and you suck. That's why. Well, I'm supposed to get everything everybody else. I'm supposed to get everything that everybody else gets. No, you're not. You see, if you steward it, it works. Listen, he's saying here, listen, do the others what you'd have them do to you. Treat them like royalty. When you get into their meetings, treat them like royalty. When you listen to their problems, first of all, it doesn't take, listen to what they say. If they're cussing God and everything under the sun and talking about all kind of crazy, weird sins that the Bible says you're going to get in trouble about, then you know where they are. You don't look at them and go, well, okay, bless you. You bring them to a standard of I ain't talking about preaching hellfire and damnation to them. You know what I'm talking about doing? Give them a testimony of the goodness of God. I've been in front of a lot of young men where they talk about having sex with everything that has 2 feet. And when they get done, you know what I do? I just brag on a godly I brag on a wife that loves me, that has my whole heart, that I trust, and she trusts me, and I'm never having to second guess her because she is as constant, her love for me, is as constant as the northern star. And you know what they do? It's totally foreign to them. See, they have no concept of loyalty, of love, of acceptance. I didn't preach hellfire and damnation to them. I just bragged on what it was to have a wonderful marriage. Let me tell you about my marriage. And I just start until they tell me, okay, we got it, or they walk off. Don't. Just as God is generous, you be generous. You be generous. You show forth his generosity. That's it. It's not talking about just money there, by the way, even though I believe in sowing and reaping. Okay, I'm done. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Well, who's your daddy? How do you measure up today with God's Word? See, the cool thing about being able to preach this is that I get to do all of this before I preach it to you. So if I need to repent, I just go ahead and deal with it. You know, I just get it done, right? Are you experiencing the how much more? Do you see God as a generous God? Are your prayers being answered? If they're not, are you asking things that are amiss, i.e. that really doesn't line up with his heart and his kingdom and bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? Or do you come in his presence asking for a nickel when he has everything to to give to you. Won't you stand with me real quick? Fifteen years ago, I got a hold of a book called Birthright by David Needham. It's a medallion book, probably still in print. I would highly encourage you, if you're still struggling with seeing God as a generous God and understanding your birthright, that you get that book and you read it. Now be prepared to get burned, because it brings the heat of His goodness. When I read it, I was stuck in some old way thinking that made me so mad I'd take it and throw it literally up against the wall, because it would make me so mad. It would make me mad because deep in my heart I wanted what He was talking about so bad, but my theology wouldn't let me embrace it, because I always thought I was just a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner that was just going to squeak by and get into heaven and maybe clean the toilets, if they have toilets in heaven. But that book set me on a path of discovering my identity in Christ and knowing that I'm a son and daughter of God, or in my case, a son. And so if you struggle with this, get the book. David Needham. Needham. It's a mind changer. Do you sin because you're a sinner? Or do you occasionally sin because you miss God's command? Do you read 1 John, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father? Actually, it doesn't use that word. It says, if you sin. There's something about holiness and purity and right living before God that we, as a charismatic community, have left out. Read Wesley. He'll get you stirred up. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's any way in our, and all of this comes back to the way that we think about You and the way we perceive ourselves as being born again believers. If there's any way that is harmful and causes us to miss out because we're thinking wrongly, I pray in the coming week that You will expose that in us, either through Your Word or through missed opportunities that we become aware of, and it allows us to examine why we thought the way that we thought. Lord, I pray that we would rise up to the standard of being sons and daughters of the living King, and that we would be that avenue where You flow through us, in us and through us, where the kingdom of heaven comes on earth, just like it is where You are. And we just thank You for doing that and accomplishing that in our midst today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, hug somebody before you leave. We're so glad that you made it today. God bless you.